We have decided to do a three-part on our next industry, which is the trucking industry. And guys, I sort of cheated because today's guest is someone special to me. It's my hubby because he owns his own trucking company. So we will allow him to tell you who he is and, you know, about the company that he has and how long he's been driving. So tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Yeah.
Well, first up, I started from the bottom, as every truck driver would. Been driving for 13 years, going on 14. And it's been an adventure at first, but later on, up until the current point, and one thing I must stress, I'm always still learning about the trucking business, but it is a lot. It's more than, if you're thinking about getting into it, it's a lot more to think about and deal with than most people think. Oh, just, I'm an owner-operator. So there's a lot of cost. Of course, everyone knows the cost, but there are a lot of things that go on that you're not aware of. Mm-hmm. As far as not just driving, it's not just about driving because you are a business owner. So keeping that in mind, the business sense, that's where certain people come in handy with certain things, but certain things you have to learn on your own.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be able to escape it except for just to go through it.
Yeah.
But things that can make it easier are, you know, experience and just going through it.
Yeah.
Don't forget to tell them your name, though.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say.
My name is Winston Williams.
Okay. He want to dive into it. Because
Winston Williams, Winsome Trucking, LLC, yeah. Or LLC.
Yeah.
And been a business owner for my trucking company for 3 years, 4 years.
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I've been driving for 13 going on 14 years.
So
wow. I'm well versed and in the commercial trucking industry.
Wow.
Yay.
Well,
you know, guys, we had the one which was Dan, but he was more on the insurance end. And our next three episodes are just truck drivers, and they're giving their perspective, you know, because one of the main reasons why we chose to do this is because there are, you know, to me, the transportation industry is very, very important and it's needed. But there's a lot of red tape and underhanded things in the industry that we want to bring to the forefront and discuss. So we're going to start off by, you know, asking you the question, how does it work to be an owner operator?
Well, first of all, getting your truck. That's step number one, but that's far from over. That's just the tip of the iceberg once you get your truck.
Is it costly to get the truck?
Extremely. Extremely. Do not underestimate. That's one thing people don't add in to the trucking industry. They don't add in the cost. When I say everything, you know, it's literally everything from fuel, which is one of the main ones, to repairs, tires, little discs, wires, doesn't matter, because you have a truck, you have a tractor, and you have a trailer. So it's over maybe 200,000 parts to those, so anything can go wrong at any time. So you have to take into account the cost, take into the account you're away from your family. I have an understanding family where that kind of like eased the pain a little bit. That was at the owner-operator end. When you're first starting, you don't have to deal with that if you're dealing with a company where they're finding your loads. It's sort of like what we call starter company. Mm-hmm. I'm at an owner operator level where you own your truck, you pay your insurance. See, notice everything that I'm talking about, it's going to be cost. Everything costs. So, and a lot of people are under the misconception that, oh, I'm just throwing numbers out. It's not exact numbers. Oh, I'll get a load from California to Texas and it pays, let's say, $4,400. Oh, that's a lot just for, and you'll get there in 2.5-3 days or whatever it may take. Mm-hmm. And this is, but there's cost. Mm-hmm. There's fuel that's taking out from that. No breakdowns. Mm-hmm. Breakdowns will do you in. And that's another thing that most people don't take into account, where repair and maintenance, you're expecting a certain amount to make a certain amount, but then certain things, occurrences happen, and you don't end up with what you thought. You're still surviving, but most people don't get into business just to survive. Yeah. You're in it to make money and to make a profit.
So out of that $4,400, like, to help them to see, how much do you think on average, if the load is paying 44, how much do you think that you would put in your pocket from that?
Okay, that's a twofold question. If you're leased on to a company that's established already, or if you have your own authority, which once again costs more money, you have to pay. That's you have your business, but an authority means you can go out and find your own loads. You get all of the money. Now, being leased on, someone else finds the loads for you. You have a dispatcher. Mm-hmm. Everyone has to get paid. So, let's say out of the 4,400, you get, I may end up with, let's say, $2,400.
Dang.
Yes, $2,400. So that it's inflated, but because you have to fuel up. Fuel is constantly going up and down, up and down. Mm-hmm. But when it goes up, that cuts into your profit.
Well, mm-hmm. We heard that the fuel is going up, but the rate that you're getting per mile is not.
Exactly. It's staying the same, or depending on who you're dealing with, whether it be your owner operator or you're leased on to someone, they're going to take a cut out of that before you even see it. You see the number 4,400. The company that you're leased on to, they get their chop. The dispatcher, they get their chop. That's two times already. So by the time they get their chop, fuel, fingers crossed, no maintenance issues or anything like that. You have your regular upkeep of the truck. You got to put the fluids, the oil, your oil changes. Oil changes can run now $600, depending on the part of the country.
$600 for a truck oil change?
Oh, that's, it can get more. it can be more.
But why?
Because that's a lot of oil.
Oh, okay.
The filters, it's more than just, it's not like a car engine. It's not like, it's more of everything. When you think trucks, just think more than a car. Oh, multiply it times 5 or 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easily. Yeah. No exaggeration. It's not to scare you. It's the reality. That's why when people, like I said, that 4,400. Oh, it's 4,400. Oh, you got a lot of money. Not exactly.
Yeah.
You're okay, but you still have bills to pay out of that. Let's say what I told you, 2,400, I may mm-hmm. come home with. Still have bills to pay at home. That truck needs to get, it needs, so to speak, it's like a child. It needs to get nurtured and fed. constantly. Constantly. Yeah. It doesn't stop because the truck doesn't stop. Yeah. And if your wheels don't roll, you don't make any money. Right. So that's part of something that you have to factor in when you're when you want to go into this field as far as being an owner operator, whether you're getting your own authority or
using
someone else's authority, yeah. and you have a dispatcher, you will make more like that. That's why it's a lot. It's common occurrence most sometimes where a husband and wife will be a team. Either they'll drive together and the wife will find the loads. That's under your own authority. Find the loads. Do the certain things where she can, while you're driving, getting money, going to the next load, I mean, to your next delivery, she's putting in her little thing. Or she could stay at home and do the exact same thing, and it'll just be like you're communicating. Mm-hmm. But that's where you're saving if you have it like that. But some people don't have it like they have. My wife has a different profession. Mm-hmm. She can't do that. So it's tricky, but it's not as bad as you think it is. But you must be prepared. If you're not prepared, be prepared to fail.
There's some people that I've seen that are husbands and wife, and they drive together. The
right.
husband drives and the wife drives.
Mm-hmm.
So they make more money because they don't, their truck don't have to stop.
Yeah.
You know, and he can, you know, like, so why don't you explain that? Because some people, and I do, I had a client that had the trucking, but they didn't understand the rest and they wasn't logging. So how does that work? Because they were just running and running. And then when I brought it up, you know, because I sort of like know it only because of my husband being a truck driver, they were like, we never did that. And so they were trying to fix it before they actually, you know, I don't know how it works. So can you explain that?
Well, nowadays, it's very, very hard. You have to have a paper log. We'll start with paper logs because that's everyone starts with paper logs when you're in trucking school, so on and so forth. But most of the time now, it's electronic logs, ELD. So with ELD, you're not going to be able to cheat the system, so to speak, that much. And you won't be, most of the time, you won't be able to cheat it at all, because if you're a truck driver, you know about weigh stations. Weigh stations will, that's what they specialize in. You hook up, you have a computer in your truck, and the hours of service, you just can't drive and make money. You can, it's only up to a certain extent. I won't get into all of that as far as the exact hours, but you're not going to be able to, it's there, so you won't be able to manipulate the system.
Mm-hmm.
So state patrol, whichever state you're in, it doesn't matter. They all have weigh scales. If you're in a car, we call them four-wheelers. If you're in a four-wheeler, you probably, oh, weigh station. To us, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You pull in there, you get inspected. You all of that other good stuff. They check your hours of service, that your driving time.
What's that?
Your hours of service, you have certain amount of hours to drive during 1 week. You cannot drive over that. So you, it's sort of like you're driving.
How many hours is that?
70.
So you get 70 hours and
sometimes, if you're local, sometimes it's 60. And most of the time it's 60.
Hmm.
So
you got 60 hours and 7 days?
Yes.
So can you do 20 hours in 1 day?
No.
So there's daily
your max is
well,
10. Okay. Your max is 10.
In a day?
10 driving hours. 10 driving hours.
So what is considered driving? Is it driving too, like when you pull over and you have lunch or something like that?
No, that then you're off driving. Now then you're off. Whenever driving is considered when you're doing your pre-trip, checking your truck out. You're actually driving. Mm-hmm. You're at the pickup or delivery. And you're interacting with the customer, bills of lading, this and that, so on and so forth. You are supposed to be logged on for driving time. But there's ways that drivers, okay, I arrive here to save time. If they're going to have you waiting for to unload or load you, which happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You're so like in order to save that driving time, you log yourself off. Now, the clock stops. You may be, let's say, eight and a half hours left to drive in that day. So you're saving a little time. You can get around little things like that. But for the most part, the clock is ticking for that day. So that's why you want to get as many miles as you can in that day, or get your delivery done and over with if you're in within, so to speak, what we say, striking distance. It's within striking distance, and I'll be able to make it. Then you save your hours for, let's say, a bigger load with bigger money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So what happens after you reach that 60 or 70 hours?
You must take your required rest break.
What's that? How long is that?
How long is that?
Yeah.
That's 24, 30 something or something like that. It's like a day and a half.
Do you have to, like, 36 hours?
Oh, yes.
In between?
No, you rest. You okay. Don't drive that truck.
Oh, okay.
So it's reset.
It's your reset.
So now if you, so if you have a husband and a wife there, and she already reached her reset, she can start while you're still resetting.
That's the advantage of having your partner, or that's why some companies, when you first start driving at companies, you're team driving. Well, when one drives, the other one is off the clock, driving for your clock. While one's driving, the other one's off. So you can kind of like keep it going. You can keep it going as far as the wheels are rolling and you're making money. And then when one is out of hours, the other team driver is driving. While that team driver is driving, you're not driving. You're resetting your hours. Then you get your fresh hours. And then they take theirs while you're driving. So it's kind of like you'll know how to, it's not manipulating the system. It's just that you know how to time it right and work your hours. We call it working your hours. You're like, okay, I'm going to stop driving early so I can be done with my reset while my co-driver is driving. And then by the time that happens, I'll be with fresh hours, and then we do it again. And then once both of us have a lot of hours, we're just rolling.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but do you think that that's a good thing and an important thing that they created those set hours?
Like, yeah, it's a good thing. It's for safety. Number one, you don't want any drowsy drivers. I mean, there are enough accidents that I've seen with trucks, and I'm sure you as the audience have seen, oh, look at that truck. Oh, the truck is over there. The truck is on fire. I've seen it. I've been up close and personal with a lot of them, more than I care to experience. But you realize how important that is.
Did they just set that up? Was it one time where they didn't have those limits? And things were happening more? Were they now these laws?
It was always there, but now, like I said, it's electronic log. You can't, some people try, or they manipulate it somewhat, but with paper logs. It used to be only paper logs way back in the day.
So people could just write whatever.
Write whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
But they're trying to get away from that because of accidents and drivers. It's an old adage, even before I was driving, that drivers were just driving chugging coffee, get donuts, keep going, just keep. But that's not safe. So that's why they do ELD now.
Yeah. Is that, this is just me conjecturing, was ELD kind of pushed forward harder because of insurance companies for the trucking, for truckers and stuff like that?
Most definitely. Insurance and accident purposes. And with saving each company, whether it be a big corporation or your owner operator, saving money for insurance for accident purposes. They'll find out, oh, this driver was driving 14 hours or 10, let's say 15 hours
nonstop
and caused an accident. So that's for insurance purposes and safety.
Mm-hmm. So do they deny the insurance if they, like, say, for instance, they see a driver that did 14 hours, will they deny that claim because it was over the 10 hours?
Oh, they can, most definitely. If it's on electric, especially electronic logs, if they checked and see that, but no driver more than likely nowadays will. They'll log theirself out and continue to drive, which is illegal.
How do you prove that they do? Is there an electronic log tied to the vehicle in any way?
Yes. There's GPS. Okay. It's a little computer, just like all cars and pickup trucks or whatever have little computers in it. It's tracking your hours. Mm-hmm. It's tracking the time you started driving, you stopped driving. It tracks your brakes. It tracks everything. Mm-hmm. And when you get pulled over for inspections, or if you want to speed or whatever, and they pull you, they're going to check everything.
Mm-hmm. Can that be manipulated? Can the electronic ELD thing, can the companies manipulate that? So let's say the driver drove 10, can they back it and say, no, he only drove 8?
Yes, they can. Mm. Unfortunately, they don't like to hear that, but yes, they can. They can go into, if you're an owner operator, you can do it, but that means you're fully responsible, of course, and you're going to bear the punishment for it.
I'm assuming this is available to them because there could be errors in logging. So,
there are always errors in logging, but as long as they're not out of the box, so to speak, and they're not, they'll judge whether you're doing it intentionally or not. Mm-hmm. You know, corporations such as like starter trucking companies, they don't manipulate at all, zero, because truck drivers are coming straight out of trucking school.
Yeah.
They're learning the ropes, so on and so forth. But they've built multi-million, billion-dollar trucking companies to train new drivers. They don't want to lead them wrong. So that the manipulation comes on later once you've, not local drivers really. This is mainly over the road. Over the road drivers, that's when the manipulation, if you have your own authority, because you can pull the strings, you can go on the computer, you can say, okay, even though the computer logged me at this, I'm going to go and take off this, and in the main computer, not on your ELD that's in the truck. Mm-hmm. But they manipulated certain ways where an hour or two can give you a little leeway to make a delivery, to make a pickup, or to get your hours back.
Mm-hmm. Can they find that out? Like if it's the insurance company or...
If they dig hard enough, most definitely. Mm-hmm. They'll see when certain things were changed, but that's if they dig deep enough. But on the surface, if you just... if you know what you're doing and... A lot of them know what they're doing. They'll nickel and dime it a little bit, but as long as they don't have prior violations, usually that's as far as it goes.
Yeah.
And for the most part that I've seen with other owner operators that I've seen out there in the country, most of them don't want to deal with that headache.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's discouraged. It's just not, because you have too much to lose. It's like, this is my livelihood. You don't want to get dinged or have them shut you down.
Yeah.
Because if they do find it, they shut you down. Mm-hmm. That means that truck doesn't move.
Yeah.
For a certain period of time that they determine. They determine, okay, this is, so we're going to shut you down.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just leave that truck whenever you see a truck in a weigh station.
Yeah.
That's just sitting there for a long, long time. Let's say you're on vacation and you go and you come back and you see that same truck there, that means that truck is shut down. He did something. Whether it could be equipment, it could be the ELD, the logs. It's a lot of things in the trucking industry can get you in trouble and to get you shut down.
Yeah.
That's why I mean, I don't brag. I don't toot my horn, anything like that. Since I've had my CDL, zero tickets.
Yeah, because he's
and even in my car, because when you're driving your own vehicle,
you carry
that CDL, so you're still going to get a ticket. So over 13 years of zero tickets, I'm proud of it, but that still doesn't let me rest like that, because there are things out there you have to constantly be aware of. And if you're not aware, it's going to eventually.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give them money like that.
Also, there's fines. There's fines and stuff.
Oh, big time. So, fines. Now, if you feel that you can, some drivers, I hate to say it, I could afford it. Let's say you got a load from California to, let's say, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida. Okay, basically, that's coast to coast.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting paid such and such for this load, and they want a boogie, right? So you catch a speeding ticket. Oh, I could afford it. I've heard that out of truck drivers' mouths before. That isn't the point. Yes, you can afford it, and yes, you will pay it. You will pay it. but it affects your driving record. It'll affect the next time you get pulled in a weigh station, and you're the lucky one. We're going to inspect you. They inspect your license. They go through your medical, everything, and go through your truck, with a fine tooth comb. So,
do you get a mark if they find something on your truck?
Most definitely,
on the truck, not on you. But like, let's say,
most definitely, everything counts.
Oof.
But why are you gonna put that on the driver?
Because you're
you were the one.
The driver is responsible. You learn that first off. You're behind the wheel of that truck.
I wonder if you don't own the truck.
Doesn't matter. The company that you're driving for will get fined then. They'll have to cover the cost for it, but then they could turn that around on the driver. You're supposed to inspect it a pre-trip and a post-trip.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're driving long enough, you're inspected during the, let's say you stop, you're driving 11 hours or 10 hours, 5-hour mark, pre-trip. 5-hour mark, just a little quick round. Make sure there's nothing sticking in your tires. Your lines are all right. No leaks. Check under the hood, your fluids, this, that, the other. That's mid-trip. And then you do a post-trip. So there's no excuse for any driver.
Oh.
They make it so. It's no excuse for any driver to say that such and such. Now, things do happen. Blowouts.
Mm-hmm.
A hose carrying whichever fluid for the brakes or engine may burst. It's a machine. It's going to break. But as long as you're, and that has to be documented, you're doing pre-trips, 15 minutes. Post-trip, 15 minutes, no less. On electronic logs, no less. So that means at the beginning of your day, you're just sitting there. You check it. You may finish yours because you've been doing it a while. You may finish it in 10 minutes. That doesn't mean you're pulling off.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to wait that extra 5 minutes
mm-hmm.
because it's electronic. And then on duty driving, Well, I just do on duty, but on duty is your clock is ticking. Once that truck starts moving, it's going to automatically go to drive. You don't have to do anything, which most drivers know anyway. So I'm just, that's basic stuff. So it's very hard to get over on that end. No. Oh, that's
so I wanted to touch on, because the industry, the trucking industry has changed tremendously. And that's why we found that it was very important to do this series of different ones, because we want to really shine a light on it. And one of the things that happened, you know, during COVID, because it was more pressure on the trucking, because a lot of other things, you know, the other traveling industry was affected so tremendously that a lot of it fell on the truckers. And we know you've clarified that the fuel went up, but your miles, you know, that you were paid per hour did not go up. And also we heard that it was a lot of price gouging.
Ooh. Okay. Price gouging. Now, I would say, I wouldn't say price gouging. I would just say the trucking industry, and it's true to this very day, they take advantage of certain situations. Okay, I said earlier about being leased on. If you're leased on to a company, everyone has to get their cut. The dispatcher, the company that you're leased on to, then you get what's left over. So what is happening, they double broker the deal. They'll get the load from someone. This is not supposed to happen. It's illegal.
He brought that up.
It's illegal. But they'll do it because they have friends.
How does that work?
Double brokering is when the original company that bids, because you bid for a load. Mm-hmm. You bid, you won that load. I'm going to sell it off. It's sort of like I'm going to get it, but I'm going to sell it to one of my buddies or whatever in the trucking industry. So I get the original, so I'm going to get mine. Now I'm sold it to my buddy for this. So let's say with general number, $5,000, get a load for $5,000. I'm going to keep $500 of that. So I'm telling him $4,500. So now $4,500, he's going to take $500-$600. Remember I told you, your dispatcher got to get paid. So it goes down to, let's say, $3,500, $3,400 by the time it gets to me. It could be less because, like I said, the driver on the back end doesn't really know the original price mm-hmm. of that load that they bid it on.
Is that against the law?
Yes, it is. And they are discouraging it, but it's hard for people to catch them because it's like a buddy-buddy system. Mm-hmm. It's going to be someone they know. They're not going to, oh, you're in the trucking business and I'm in the trucking business. Oh, yeah, we've had a couple of drinks and we know each other for years and this and this. And, I'm doing this now. So it's like he's washing his hand. Mm-hmm. By the time it gets to us, the driver, we're getting the lower price, mm-hmm. but still have to incur and take on most of the cost. Repairs, fuel, mm-hmm. you know, things like that.
Do you think that's happening a lot? Because so many people are suffering in that.
Most definitely it's happening, but most drivers that are leased on don't know that part. They're just happy to see that.
The check.
$3,500. Mm-hmm. Ooh, man, I'm getting a $35. Man, that car. And then you telling your friends or whoever, your family members, they're like, oh, he's getting paid $3,500. When it started, at $5,000. Remember, mm-hmm. I started at the five.
Yeah.
It went down to 35 by the time it gets to you. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, oh, okay, it's 35. So you get used to getting in that frame of mind of, okay, this is it, when it's really not. Once you find out, you know there's more to be got in the trucking industry. It kind of discourages a lot of people, a lot of drivers, because they find out that part and it's like, that's not right.
Right. Yeah.
Because you're away from your family. You're putting in all of these hours and then you're getting the short end of the stick. Of course, we all could use that money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you don't find that out in the beginning part. You have to be in the game, so to speak. I mean, it's certain things about any industry, yeah. But you have to be in, because no truck driver is just going to come out and say that, because the ones that have their own truck, I have my own truck and all that, they're not willing to share that information. Therefore, they get in that position. They've got some skins in the game and they're at a position now. So now that what they end up doing is what was done to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like a vicious cycle that goes on instead of people getting paid fairly what they're supposed to get paid.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's a way that they can implement things to put in place like they did with the logging of the miles and stuff like that?
Well, all of that is taken care of by ELD. That's pretty good to me as far as...
No, I'm saying with the double brokerage.
Oh, double brokerage. Well, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard because you're going to have to know someone. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're going to be driving and then you meet a cool guy at a truck stop and you're eating and this and that. And oh yeah, it just doesn't happen like that. You have to know someone.
But it's hurting the industry.
Oh, most definitely, because the drivers, the one that's putting in the actual work are not being paid what they're supposed to be paid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, starting out, you're promised this, wow, it's just this and that, and it's this, and it could be this and that if it wasn't for the double brokering. Yeah. If it wasn't for, it's like your fate is almost in someone else's hands of how greedy they want to be.
Yeah,
we had another trucker where we talked about this fuel credit. So on every load, the company that calls and say, hey, I have a load I need, you know, and they're giving it to the broker to find a driver for it.
Mm-hmm.
On that, the paperwork, there is a fuel credit that they have to put on there and saying, my load is $3,000. Okay, so that is 500 miles at $2 and something cent each mile. That's how they're calculating it or whatever. And then we have to also add the fuel credit, because in that industry, the person that's requesting the load to be picked up knows that they have to pay for fuel.
Mm-hmm.
So they know how much fuel it's going to take. So for them to carry this load, it's going to be fuel of a credit of $1,200 or $2,000. So now this load is now $5,000. What's supposed to happen, and you correct me if I'm wrong,
mm-hmm.
on the documents, the paperwork, is supposed to show the full fuel credit amount, because that goes to the driver, not the company, mm-hmm. not the dispatcher, not the broker, but to the driver. And now no paperwork shows that. Why is that?
Because they're keeping the money and they're trying to. That's where the greed comes in. I hate to say it in that blunt of a fashion. That's where the greed comes in. There is their way of nickel and diming their drivers that's leased on to them
mm-hmm.
to get more money to, and they won't tell the newer drivers about that once you're coming into the owner op leased on industry part of the field. That part about the fuel credit, that is an incredible help. They can, that's an extra, let's say, $1,200 per load.
Yes.
Per load that could be helping with your fuel. Now, let's, I told you earlier, going from California to Florida or Georgia, it doesn't matter, coast to coast, it's going to be a big fuel credit that they've added in. They're not going to add on any, but that means they're pocketing that money without the, so the driver, remember I told you everything comes out of, oh, that $3,500 is, so you're making the driver pay for fuel that he shouldn't have to.
Exactly.
I mean, it's you're going to pay for some, but that fuel credit offsets it some. Mm-hmm. And every little bit helps, of course.
Yeah.
Every little bit helps.
And another thing with that, with the company that we use their authority, when we requested the paperwork to show the fuel tax, they said that it wasn't on them. It was the broker that they got the paperwork from. Mm-hmm. So the broker said that they don't do that anymore. It's not separated anymore. That's what they told us. Mm-hmm. But then I have a cousin that's also a truck driver, and he has his own authority, but he demands it, and he said all of his paperwork does show it.
And it should
but
be a breakdown.
But we're told by different brokers, and it's not just one. We've been told by several, oh, no, that's not broken out anymore.
Mm-hmm. No, I was going to ask, like, have you ever, like, heard? Because that kind of stuff happens in my industry as well, where when things have to pass through so many hands, eventually, all of a sudden, the stuff that we used to be so open about, there's just one set fee at the bottom. It's like, don't worry about it.
Right.
And you're just kind of like, well, can I request the? And when you make a big deal about it, then they go, you know what? If you don't want the job, we'll ask somebody else for this.
Exactly.
Does that happen to truckers? Like, if they ever.
Well, what they will do, they will. They're good at talking, so to speak, because you're so focused on driving as the driver, because I'm talking from a driver's point of view. So you're focused on this load, that load, your bills, this and that. You're trying to get this fuel tax credit, right? That you're legally supposed to have. It, so to speak, get lost in the shuffle, and they're good. I'm talking about the owners of most of these companies, if you got a dispatcher, they're good with their mouthpiece. They'll talk, and you, and they're talking about things that doesn't have to do with what you're telling them about this fuel credit and giving you a reason, but none of it adds up. None of it adds up, but the guys that are new in the industry are so new, they're just... Okay, and it's like let's keep going. Let's just keep, and they keep pocketing that part, and that little bit adds up. It's not, like I said, the fuel tax credit is not going to pay for your full load that you have to pay, because it could cost $600-$700 for one fill up, you know. So you may have to fill up, let's say three times, four times, depending on how far you're going. So at least you're saving something, but the greed in this industry is so rampant where it's like they want every little bit that they can get without thinking about who's really putting in the driving hours, who's putting their CDL on the line, who's putting all of their time away from their family, so on and so forth. It's a long list. Don't have time to go through all of it, but it's a lot that we sacrifice. And then to get shorted on it, that's why when most people say or see a truck driver, they're grumpy. See, it's a lot of things that go into that. Oh, truck drivers are so and this and that. We're doing a lot, but then to find out, you won't find out in the beginning, but to find out later on, you've been getting
Shacked.
I'm not going to say shacked, but cheated out of your money that you've earned. Because we've earned this money. It's not like we're shorting the system or anything like that. We do everything that we're supposed to do. Because if you don't, eventually it's going to catch up with you. You just don't have a CDL for, just like me, you're just not going to have a CDL for 13 going on 14 years and zero tickets without, and if you do have tickets, it's going to be repercussions. You're going to, you will feel it. But there's the appreciation I feel is less than it's supposed to be. And there's more of underhanded things that's going on.
Yes.
And it's a lot of avenues that they can get it. I'm talking about take money out of your pocket as a driver. It's rampant. I'm not going to sound like I don't want to sound like I'm disgruntled, because I'm not. I can work my way through it. I have people in my corner that can help me through certain times, but there are some drivers out there that can't, so that they're depending on this. So that part of it, and they won't tell you the ins and outs of certain things where you may be losing money on this, or you need to look out for certain things on your pay when you could be making more. Mm-hmm. But it's going into certain individuals' pockets, whether it starts at the top, middleman, and is working down to me as a driver.
I think
it's in their hands instead of mine.
Yeah.
And I'm putting in the work.
Yeah. I think it's very important to shine light on this, because this industry and the things that's going on right now is horrible for those drivers. Like, for instance, it used to be a time that when a owner operator or a driver wanted to do things on their own, they went out and they said, oh, I'm going to get this type of truck because I know that this type of truck is a great truck. You don't see that now. They're selling you lemon trucks with the name on it, and they're telling you these are good trucks, and then you have it for a month or so, it breaks down. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't understand that. And, you know, it's breaking down and it's breaking down. So now you done paid $100,000 for something that keeps breaking down, that now done cost you almost $200,000 because you're replacing all of this stuff. And no one is holding the people that's selling these trucks, nobody is being held accountable. Mm-hmm. Even the finance companies. Right. I know this for a fact because I have a lot of drivers. I know it for a fact. They will sell them this truck. They're paying all of this money for the truck. The truck is constantly breaking down, you know, one breakdown after the other. You call, go back to them and saying, hey, well, this is supposed to be a Kenworth. Kenworth are supposed to be a good truck, you know, and then they're saying, oh, you know, once you fix this, it's going to be good. And that's constant, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know for us, we filed a complaint with the Better Business Bureau on, we did it on Kenworth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the Better Business Bureau, if you don't know how it works, you file the complaint, then you give them time to respond to the complaint. Then you have to go back. We had so many receipts and everything that now they have a mark against their business.
Yeah.
It's now set in stone. You guys are selling people these broken trucks. And then when they walk away from it, you take the truck and then you resell it again.
Yeah.
And you're doing the exact same thing over and over. And I think, you know, that the attorney general needs to be involved and start going after these companies that's selling these trucks. And they need to go after the finance company, because the finance company is doing the same thing. It's just pure greed.
Yeah.
And it's taking advantage of people that's just trying to make a living.
And not to interrupt you, but it's more important that when you're starting out, that's the worst part. You're trying to start, because you're starting a business. You need the truck, right? But you're on the road, let's say a month, month and a half, 2 months. Issues. You're not giving that business a chance to make money first.
Yep.
Then you can. So that being said, I'm saying that anyone who wants to get in this trucking business, as far as on the owner op side, please don't jump right into it. You must, and it is a must, to save up. It's called a repair. You can use it. You can name it whatever you want to. It's for repairs, because they may not have sold you such a good truck. It may run for a while, but then it's going to be this, mm-hmm. and then a lot of newer trucks like I have. Electronics, a lot of electronic problems along with the engine and transmission and airlines and all of that other good stuff. So you must be prepared before you even, okay, but that's a lot, that's a lot to discourage people to get into the business, knowing that you have to have at least, let's say, $25,000 saved up just sitting there. Okay, now you bought a truck. The down payment, this, that, the other, plus $25,000 in the bank, just sitting there, not to be touched, because it will get used. Mm-hmm. It will get used.
Yeah.
Because of the repairs we were just talking about. So that's one thing I would say to anyone, please be prepared. If you're not prepared, you're preparing yourself to fail.
Yeah. And then another thing I hear a lot of people talk about is if you're an over the road driver, sometimes some of the things that the brokers do, and then going into certain states, you being a black man being, you know, discriminated against. How does that affect you?
I'm not going to name any certain states, but I wouldn't say areas, but certain states. You'll know it if you're a minority, especially of my color. But there are things you have to deal with loads. If you want me to give an example, I could.
Yeah, give an example.
Okay, I was in one state.
Say the state.
I don't want to discriminate. But the load was a load of potatoes. So
that's good.
And it paid very well from that state to St. Louis.
Okay.
It was $6,500 or something, but it was heavy. That's why that product. See, I'm not naming any states, but those potatoes were heavy. So sitting there, I have a brand new trailer almost, only had a few loads in it, and I'm sitting there waiting to get loaded. They're inspecting my trailer. They find little sprigs of wood from pallets. So I clean it out. They re-inspect it. Oh, we can't. There were wood little splinters in the side where you secure your load mm-hmm. in the trailer. Wood little chips in there. I took pictures, sent it back. Spotless. They refused to give me that load. Because of, oh, your trailer is too dirty. So that means I'm in this state. And that means I have to go back to the nearest truck stop that I came from an hour away, wasting more money. There's certain things that get you. But while you're there, before I left, while I'm pulling out of the dock, someone pulls in the dock. He's chummy with the person mm-hmm. who refused it to give me the load. Chummy, and they're just looking at me, and I'm like, oh, that's his buddy. It's a lot of that stuff going on in certain states. Not every state, but I've gotten okay loads from that state before, but it's going to happen in certain states. It's just going to happen. You will not know the reason why. You can't dispute it like that. Oh, he gave the load to his buddy because, and you can't, really disputed because you just move on. Mm-hmm. It's like taking the L. So you take the L and you keep moving.
Yep.
And not to mention the money that you don't waste at going to get it.
See, you're wasting fuel. Yeah. They don't care about that.
No. They just want to take care of their own.
Exactly. And that's the part that is discouraging sometimes. And it's like, you still have to deal with this even on the trucking level. Even if you're you own your own truck and trailer, you still have to deal with certain things, and it's discouraging sometimes. But you must be mentally strong to not let that affect you and keep going on, because hey, life has to go on, and it will go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just gotta learn how to deal with it.
Yeah. So our hour is up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. And we still need to cover so much. But we really, really appreciate you coming on. And, you know, if you have of something that you want to say to the public, you know, to help them, any drivers that's out there, you know, if you would like to give them advice, what would be the key advice?
The key advice is, to me, there's nothing wrong with being a truck, a semi-truck driver, CDL, over the road. But they do realize, and more drivers nowadays are realizing this, there's more to over the road. You can drive locally. Now, I mentioned earlier a lot about a certain situation. That's why most drivers now, they'll do their little time over the road just to get their experience and just drive locally. Mm-hmm. See, that's the trend now, because you get insurance at a local company. You don't have, because you're paying, I'm paying for everything out of my pocket from the loads that I do. It's more advantageous now in some driver's eyes to drive locally. You got your insurance kit taken care of, you're making a certain amount of money, which that's decent now, and you get to, you're around your family, you don't have to worry about being over. So most drivers are opting for the get my experience over the road, I'm coming home. Mm-hmm. And I'll drive locally for UPS or FedEx or some other local driving company, because it's more advantageous, because like we were saying earlier, the pay is not evening out. You will feel more satisfied. At least I'm at home around my family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And instead of getting
every
chance you get by this and this.
What's
and
that
this.
Called? Shanking and the jail.
Right. Yeah. But I would say, don't get discouraged. Just keep an open mind. Don't be stuck on, and don't let anyone tell you that, oh, just get, that should be the end all be all to buy your own truck, to buy your own trailer, to have your own trucking company. That's not the end all be all nowadays, because the economy and how they're treating truck drivers.
Yeah.
So don't feel bad for getting a local truck driving job. Oh no,
it's respectable.
It's respectable, and it's more normal now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go into it with a plan. If you don't want to be out there on the road away from your family and getting, you know, messed around financially certain times, do your time and come on back home and with your family. Do you, because you have to have experience over the road, get your experience and come on home, get your local, and call it a career, and do the good thing at home. It's not a knock on, you don't have your own truck and you didn't do this many years over the road. It's not a badge of honor to me. It's not a badge of honor. It's just experience that I went through. But now that I know that experience, would I have did it a different way? Probably not, because I know me. I like my own stuff. But working locally is just fine also.
Yeah. See, you guys, I told you. We bring you guys the real deal. And if any of you out there, you know, that drives a truck and you want to sit on this couch, always hit us up, send us a email, you know, hit us up on any of the pages, even under the video, you know, that you're watching. Let us know that you want to be a guest and we'll get you on here. And as I always say before I end, what good is experience, education, whatever it is, even knowledge, what good is it if it's not shared? So don't think that your story is not important enough to hear it, because everybody's story is an experience and an educational tool for anyone that listen in. So catch us next week, and do not forget to subscribe, people, because we're bringing you the deal, the raw deal when it comes to being an entrepreneur. See you next week.